Continue learning the sugyas here of Kohen Gadol. So the first two sugyas we discussed, the first sugya was about Siag Deraisa, the Kohen Gadol following the Mita. And then we discussed yesterday about the Kohen Gadol pointing an antler, a shliach of some sort. And we'll touch upon that a little bit today. Today we're going to discuss other dinim about the Kohen Gadol, about his ability to judge, and judging him, and some other areas as well. So let's begin with the Gemara. The Gemara points out from the Mishnah, the Mishnah says that Kohen Gadol dan v'dan nosa. Kohen Gadol is allowed to judge, and he's also allowed to be judged. The Gemara points out that Kohen Gadol dan pshita. Of course, the Kohen Gadol has the right to judge. Why would you think otherwise? So here's the interesting machlokas in this havamina, or in this understanding rather, the Gemara, the pshita, that Tosa says, had we not had this din of the Mishnah that Kohen Gadol dan, we would have understood on our own, havamina. Misvar would have made sense logically that Kohen Gadol, of course, could be a dayan, because de'atu mishum chashivuso migra gara, because he has great chashivus, because he has an important position, and he does everything that he does, he should be any worse than anyone else who is able to judge. He's no different than any other person, and therefore, of course, he's allowed to judge. That's the Tosfos's understanding. Now, the Ran and Rabbeinu Yonah, they go a different route. Rabbeinu Yonah, the Ran, quote from the Pasuk. The Pasuk tells us in Shoftim, it says, Ve'akohanim ashayu bayamimahim, referring to dinim. And when a person has an inyan of a zakin mamre and other dinay Torah, one has to go to the dayanim. And the pasuk uses the example of kohanim as dayanim. So that's the pshita. The pshita isn't because of a svara that a kohen gadol is just like everybody else. The pshita is that it's being somech on the pasuk, he says, that dinim are given to kohanim. It's a special din of a kohen being a dayan. It's not a svara. So what comes out from this machlokas is, we could raise what I already alluded to yesterday, we could raise the question, raise the chakira, what's the status of a Kohen Gadol? Is a Kohen Gadol like a regular hedyot? He's like any other person, except that he has a very important job, but outside of that job, it's not who he is, he's a regular person. He's a regular person, he's a regular Kohen, he's a regular Adam, all the halachas apply to him, he just has a different job than I have. His job is more important than my job. He does more important things than I do. But Ve'etim, regarding Dinei Torah, regarding Dinei Mishpat, he has the same exact din as I do. And that's what Tosfos means. That the lo migra gara mishar adam. He shouldn't be any different than anybody else. But the Ran, who invokes his pasuk in Parsha Shoftim, who says, Ve'akohanim ashayu bayim mehem, is telling us that there's a special din by a Kohen. The Kohen is a different individual. He's a different Kedusha to him. And that Kedusha impacts many areas, and one of the areas that impacts is his ability to be a dayan. He's a special dayan. The Rabbi Yonah actually says he's the ikar dayan. According to the ikar dayan, he's the primary dayan. He's the most preferred dayan that we have, and therefore this indicates something special, something unique about the Kohen.
Could he be first in places? Is anyone special?
In terms of dayanus, no. No, everyone. Everyone who's capable, everyone who has the knowledge of Choshu Mishpat, could be a dayan. He doesn't elaborate on that. He doesn't elaborate. It could be that Kohen Gadol is special Gabi other dinim, but not the Gabi Choshu Mishpat. So this understanding of whether Kohen Gadol is unique or yet not unique in terms of Dayanus really threads itself through to other areas as well. So we had yesterday, just to bring it to a full picture here, we discussed yesterday the ability of a Kohen Gadol to appoint a shliach. Right, the Rabbeinu Hananel and Meiri both brought that Yushalmin, where they could point this antler of the Shliach, this Marasho. That was yesterday's discussion, what type of Shliach. But it was certainly talking about a Kohen Gadol. And it seemed that most allowed the Kohen Gadol to send the Shliach. The question is, can you use that as a Raya for Shar B'nei Adam? And we saw yesterday the Ramban in Shavuos, Daf Lamed, quoted a Machlokes Rishonim, whether or not you could apply the same heter of sending an antler, a Shliach, can you apply it to Shar B'nei Adam? So the first mandamar was, yeah, just like a Kohen Gadol could have a representative, could represent him in the Bezdin, so to any other person, a Tam Chacham, an Isha, and even a Tovei and a Nitva could send a Shliach. Why would there be a difference between a Kohen Gadol and anybody else? But then the Ramban quoted another pin that says, no, there's something very different about the Kohen Gadol. The Kedusha of the Kohen Gadol puts him in a category in his own. He's a completely different playing field than anybody else. So while by the Kohen Gadol, there's a special heter for him to use an antler that he doesn't present himself in Bezdim, everybody else has no such heter. So this, again, goes back to the question of how similar is the Kohen Gadol to everybody else? Is he just like anybody else but has a chashivas in terms of his job? Or no? Be'etzim, his whole his own mechus is different than. And you can't bring a raya just because there's a heter in the Yerushalmi that he could send the shliach. Doesn't mean that you and I could use a shliach. He's a different category. You can't talk about the Kohen Gadol with anybody else. So you see this both by the understanding of the Tosas and Ra'an in understanding the Mishnah of Kohen Gadol Dan. We saw this yesterday as well when Dan and also when you're judging him whether he could go ahead and send this shliach. We have this also in the continuation of the Gemara. Gemara talks about when a Kohen Gadol does an Avera. And the Gemara says in Yud Ches Amud Beis, after clarifying the Brisa's language is a little bit strange, so they have to clarify what it meant. And so the Gemara finally clarifies the Hachikamar. Im Avar al Aseh v'al lo Saseh, if a Kohen Gadol violates a mitzvah in the Torah, Harehu kehedyo l'chol dvarav. He's like a hedyo l'gabi all these halachas, which itself is a very telling language of the Gemara. Kehedyo, he's like a hedyo. And Rashi says, what that means is, lidon b'shlosha. He's judged with three people. So the question we could raise is, does that mean he's mamish hedyot l'chol dvarav? He does an aveira, he becomes not like nobody, like everybody else? Or no, of course he's still a Kohen Gadol. It's Gabi, the din of Bezdin, he has to go to a Bezdin of shlosha. Normally, the Gemara says, when the Kohen Gadol, continuation is, the Kohen Gadol is involved in a very serious offense. Capital punishment, so anybody else would have to go to Beis Din of Chal Gimel. The Kohen Gadol has to go to the Sanhedrin of Gadol, which is either 70 or 71, that's a machlokis in the first Mishnah. So there's a habamina, maybe he should have to go to a Sanhedrin as well when he does a lower level of error. The Gemara says, no, he goes to a Beis Din of Gimel like anybody else. So is Rashi saying he's lidon b'shlosha just l'gabi the Beis Din he goes to, but be'etzim he still retains his Kedushas Kuna Gedolotim? Or no, he's been now demoted to a regular hedyot. How do we understand that language? What does kehedyot really mean? So the language of the Rambam is very interesting in two places. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Klei Mikdash Perek Dalad, he said, Kohen Gadol she'avar aveira, she'chayv aleh malkos, malkin also bebezdin shel shlosha, kishar mechuyavei malkos, v'chozer l'gdulasa. So he says he has to go to a regular Bezdin like anybody else has to. And then he goes back to his Gdula, he goes back to his position. And then in Hilchos Sanhedrin he writes, Kohen Gadol Shechata Loke B'Shlosha Kishar Kol Ha'am V'Choza L'Gdulasa. So that language of Choza L'Gdulasa is very, very interesting. What do you guys think about that language of Choza L'Gdulasa? He goes back to his position. How would you interpret that?
Sounds like he had some
Has Kedusha?
Yeah.
He still has it? What are you saying? He downgraded. Generally, he has Kedusha. And then he was knocked down Kishar Kol Am. And then he's Chozer L'Gdula. So he goes back. He goes back to his position of Chozer L'Gdula. So that's what it sounds like from the land. Had I read the Rambam an issue, that's what I would have thought as well. He does an Avera. He loses his status. And then after going through Malkus and doing Tshuva, so then he gets reinstated as the Kohen Gadol. That's, I think, the simple understanding as well. And this touches upon the question, when a person does an Avera, Kohen Gadol in this case, does an Avera really have him lose his Kedusha? Does it really lose his Kedusha? And then it questions, can Tshuva undo the Avera? So a great example for this is as follows. Now this might be different because this is unique to Nisias Kapayim, but the Shulchan Aruch in the beginning of this is Chelek Beis Mishabur, the very first Simon Kuf Chaf Ches. It's a very, very long Simon. There are many halachas related to Nisias Kapayim, but in one of the halachas, it's Sif Lamenhe. It's brought down here based on the Gemara in Brachos that a Kohen, not Kohen Gadol, but a Kohen Shaharag Es HaNefesh, the Kohen murders, Afilu B'Shogeg, even if it's accidental, the din is Lo Yisas Kapav, Afilu Asa Tshuva. He's not allowed to do Nisis Kapayim, that's the Gemara says, because based on the Psukim of Yedeichem Damim Malayhu, his hands are full of blood. Even if he didn't kill with his hands mamish, but if it was his fault that someone died, his hands are now puzzle from Nisias Kapayim. That's a Gemara in Brachos. So one could question, does that mean his whole Kedushas Kuna has been removed because he did an Avera? It could depend on the severity of the Avera, how chamer the Avera is. And then the other question is, does Tshuva work? So the Gemara says the Avera of killing knocks his Kedusha out. And then the Mechaber says, and even if he does Tshuva, the Tshuva still doesn't work. He's been changed. His whole Kedusha has been changed, and even Tshuva won't be effective. But the Ramah writes, he says, V'yeshomim, dim asa Tshuva, then he can be nose kapav. So it sounds like tshuva does work. There's a big discussion. Can tshuva change a person's whole mahus or not? So let's backtrack again. Kohen hedya, he does an aveira, he does a shvichas dam, he murders someone. He loses his ability to nisias kapayim. Sounds like it's a psul in his kedusha as a kohen. Next question is, can tshuva undo it? Can it reinstate him as a kohen or can it not? The Chabad says it can't. So bad is shvichas damim that there's no way to undo the tshuva. Rama says, of course you can. He says, yesh lahakel, we should be lenient, like the second opinion. And al bali tshuva, shlo linol delas bifnem. We never want to lock the door. We never want to close the door in front of a bal tshuva. This is, of course, a very, very important understanding if you learn the Baal Tanya and other Sifrei Chasidus, that even though there are many instances where the Gemara says that one who does an Avera, let's say a person who, Avar V'Shan, a person who repeats an Avera, or a person says, Avar Yom Kippur Mechaper, the Mishnah says, Eimah speaking Asos Tshuva, all the Sifrei Chasidus says, what it means is it's hard to do Tshuva. But of course, it's going to be a Pesach to do Tshuva. The Rama says the same thing. Even though Pasha is, there's no Tshuva for such a Kohen who murders, we don't want to close the door. But this gets to the point of, does an Avera change the etim of a person? And number two is, can tshuva reinstate, can it bring back that kedusha? So the simple reading, I think both of you have said, is true, that with the Rambam, it sounds like, that when he does the Avera, he loses his kedusha, as Kohen Gadol, and then when he gets Malkos, and seemingly with tshuva, chozer legulasa, he gets reinstated. Anyone think otherwise, though? So what did the Radbaz say on the Rambam? Not the Radbaz on the Tshuva, but the Radbaz on the Rambam. What did he say? He made a chilek, an interesting chilek. His chilek was that only the Kohen Gadol are we machzirin oso, because the Pasuk says, Mishum dichsev ki nezeh lakov, it sounds like he always has his crown, he always wears his kuna gadola. But the Nasi, it doesn't say such a thing by the Nasi. And a Nasi, the din is, we're not machsir noso. V'ein chozer lios ke'echad asan hedrin. The Nasi doesn't aveira. He does not get reinstated even after getting malchus, even after doing tshuva. So what would the chilek be between a Kohen Gadol and a Nasi? Any thoughts? If we're assuming that the Kohen Gadol loses his kedusha when he does an aveira, so then, why should the Nasi be any different?
Nasi is appointed, no?
That's, and therefore what?
Same by the Kohen, he's got, because he's born into the Kohen status.
The Kohen Gadol is also appointed. He's also appointed, but maybe, he is appointed, but you're right, there's a certain yichus that's necessary to be a Kohen Gadol. Yeah, Sammy. The Kohen Gadol is not appointed by Hashem. Kohen Gadol is appointed, if you saw later on, Tosos quotes by the other Kohanim, or maybe by Beis Din, but not by Hashem. But different appointments could indicate something different.
So we have, is it possible, no? Maybe we need
the that what?
So if he's quoting a Pasuk, that a Kohen is not there. So the Pasuk is the Chil. No?
So that Pasuk might indicate there's some greater Kedusha, some inherent Kedusha to the Kohen Gadol, as opposed to the Nasi.
I mean, it could be that it's easier to get back to whatever the
yeah, we could still try to understand the pasuk. So it's hard to say. It could simply be gzeiras hakasev. The gzeiras hakasev and zehu. That's it. Gzeiras hakasev that the Kohen Gadol gets reinstated, and the Nasi doesn't get reinstated. That might be just a simple answer. Alternatively, it could be that maybe the difference is, I think what you were alluding to, a couple of suggestions here, that the Kohen Gadol is someone who's different. The Nasi's not as different. A Nasi gets appointed. Okay, he's a dayan, but he's appointed. It's not a real status. As a Kohen Gadol, there seems to be an inherent Kedusha to the Kohen Gadol. And if that's true, that the Kohen Gadol has this inherent Kedusha, so maybe when he does an Aveira, he doesn't lose his inherent Kedusha. It's still there. What it means is Chozer L'Gdulaso is that he just gets to work again. It's not that he lost his Kedusha. When the Kohen Gadol does the Aveira, he remains a Kohen Gadol. As Radbaz himself says in the Tshuvas, he says, Kihedio means he's not Mamash Hedio. He just acts as a hedyot, but his etzim kedusha is still a Kohen Gadol. Chozer l'gdulaso doesn't mean he becomes a Kohen Gadol again. He's always a Kohen Gadol. It's part of who he is. That the pasuk says, ki nezeh alokav. What it means is, but he just can't work as a Kohen Gadol until he does a tshuva. So Chodesh Lulaso means he now could continue to work, but now that he loses Kedusha. Kedusha was always there. Kehediot means, not Mamish Kehediot, Kishar Kol Ha'am doesn't mean he was Mamish one of the Bnei Adam. It means he has to act like Bnei Adam, but Be'etim as a Gavra, his Kedusha never was removed from him. There's no need for it. Exactly. There's no need for it. Exactly. You don't, only if the Avera is so bad that it removes the Kedusha, you have to talk about the Tshuva bringing it back. But if the Avera never got rid of anything, he still remains a Kohen Gadol, then Tshuva may not be necessary. Excellent. Everyone understand? Everyone good with that? Make sense? Okay, good. So I want to now, I'll talk about Rabbi Slakowski's point, actually, before I go in the Reb Chaim. Rabbi Slakowski made a very, very interesting point, a great Ha'ara, more than just Ha'ara even, about this idea of, we were discussing whether Kohen Gadol is different than everybody else, or is it like a Hediot, and just there are, you know, slight differences, but Be'etzim he's no different than the regular Hediot. So there is a Rambam in the beginning, in Hilchas Avel, in Perek Zayin, I keep confusing Zayin Vav, right? Zayin Vav. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Avel that a Kohen Gadol chai b'chol divrei avelus. A Kohen Gadol has to keep all the dini avelus. Ela she'asur lo l'kro b'gadav l'mala l'gadol pera l'teis achar mita. Except he can't tear his begadim, and he can't let his hair grow long, and he can't follow the mita like we discussed. V'chol am b'an l'nachm l'beis, everyone comes to comfort him. And certain all these dinim apply to him. So the default is avelus applies to the Kohen Gadol. However, when the pasuk says a few exceptions, he can't cut his, he can't grow his hair long, and he can't tear his begadim, those don't apply, but everything else does apply. That's the Rambam by Hilchos Avel the Kohen Gadol. The side here, the Mekos V'Tziyunim, quotes from the Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch mitzvah is his mitzvah Reish Samechay, I think it was, a Dalet maybe. So the Minchas Chinuch says as follows: the Gemara Mori Katan Daf Yudalim Rebeis, which is really a Mishnah Mitzvah. And Nagai quotes as follows, that a Kohen Gadol, all year round for Kohen Gadol, is like a Yom Tov, it's like a regal. It's always a simcha for him. It's always a regal. Now, why is it a regal for him? And why is it a regal for him every single day of the year? He's a carbon every single day. We're going a bit of a tangent, just to fill this in. There is a Mishnah, Maseches Pesachim Daf Nun, which talks about Erev Pesach, Malkum Shinagu, there are certain places that have a practice of an Isser Melacha. On Erev Pesach. Some places have a Malkum Shnagu all day, some only from Chatzos. So what's the reason why there's an Isser Melacha on Erev Pesach? So the Pashtus is, the Rashi says, it's a busy day. You're busy baking matzahs, you're busy burning chametz, you're busy doing a lot, preparing for the Seder. It's a busy, busy day. And for that reason, there's a need to not go to work. Isser Melacha, focus on the mitzvahs at hand. Tosos there says, anyone know what Tosos writes? Karban Pesach, excellent. Tosso quotes from the Yushalmi that the day a person brings a carbon, and this day, Erev Pesach, it's a Karban Pesach, there's a Yom Tov, it's a Yom Tov that's brought. Which is one of the reasons, Tu B'Av, which is next week, of course, Tu B'Av, one of the reasons why it's such a celebration, because it's the day they finish bringing all the wood, the firewood, for the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash. It was a celebration of a completion of a Yom Tov, of a carbon, or that which connects to a carbon. A day you bring a carbon is a Yom Tov. It's actually the Yushalmi there says, that Tosso quotes, that there's a Havamina, since we bring a carbon tamid every single day, there's a Havamina that there should be an Isser Malacha every single day of the year. Imagine, no work, every single day of the year. And Yishami likes the Havamina, but says, since the Pasuk tells us, Vasafta the Ganecha, you have to gather and work in the field, Gzeres HaKasuv says, it's not that way. So carbon tamid does not create an Isser Malacha, but other than that, a carbon does create, outside of that, a carbon Chatos, a carbon Ola, a carbon Shlomim, would create an Isser Malacha. The Tosa says there's an Isser Melacha on Erev Pesach because the Karban Pesach. That's the din. So now since, as Yossi just said, since the Kohen Gadol brings Minchas Chavitim every single day, Mimela becomes a Karban, a Yom Tov for him every single day. That's why there's an Isser Melacha. It's a regal. It's a regal every single day for the Kohen Gadol. So there, if it's really true, a regal every single day for the Kohen Gadol, that means there's no Avelus for Kohen Gadol. There's no Avelus on Yom Tov. So how could the Rambam say that the Kohen Gadol is no way all the dini avelus, if in fact the Gemara tells in Moed Katan that every single day for the Kohen Gadol is a regel, it's a stira? That's the question of Minchas Chinuch. So Minchas Chinuch himself answers that no, The Rambam is talking about in theory. In theory, there's a chiv avelus, but in practice, he can't keep it because it's a yantifer. That's what he says. There's a chiv avelus, he loses a relative, he loses a parent. He's supposed to keep it, but we say, but since it's a yantifer for you, so then mimela, you're not allowed to keep it. That's what the Minchas Chinuch writes. Alternatively, you could suggest, maybe, that the nafkin would be at nighttime. The yantif of a yantif of karbon is only true by yom. But balayla, there's no yantif. So maybe in the in-between, the nights in-between, maybe that's where practically he keeps avelus. Because it's very hard to suggest this in the Rambam, that the Rambam is only talking at, on a theoretical level. If you look at him, he says it very clearly. He writes that chala'am bam l'nachm l'beso, ukshim avrino, so when they bring the sudas havra. Now, there is some nichem avelim and yantif as well, but it sounds like there's a real nichem avelim for getting yantif. So maybe what you could suggest is that during the daytime, when it's a regal for the Kohen Gadol, there's no avelus. But balayla, there is avelus for the Kohen Gadol. Yes. So you have to figure that out as well. So the Emek Bracha, Rav Pomerantz, the Talmud of the Brisker Rav, he says that no, when the Gemara says it's regel, it means it's a regel, lagabe those avelus which he can't keep, like tearing his clothing and letting go hair grow long, but the avelus that he can keep, it's not a regel. Like you said, it's not really a regel. And that's how the Emek Bracha gets out of this question. Avel could send the karma. Can't leave the house, but he could send the carbon. It's a good question what that status would be for him, but that would be different if the yantif came after the velus, as opposed to the velus. A yantif is established. A yantif like Pesach is established. So here, the Kohen Gadol has a chiv to bring every single day. That might be viewed as a yantif kavua prep. I'm not sure. It's a good question. You have to figure out how that works. It's a good question. Either way, from this discussion, yeah.
Could you say it's a regal in the sense that he's asleep in Yerushalayim every day?
You could limit it. So maybe in terms of ta'onina, that since only that's what it means, a regal, could be. Yeah, we have to look into this halacha a little bit more to understand what it means to be a regal. But these are all very, very good suggestions. Certainly not our topic, but I brought it up, and they're all good things to be eyeing into. But what comes out from all this, however, is that the Karen Ora said that. Okay, the different answers. That's what I just said before, that it was only regal agabi what's asatim, agabi what's mutter. It's not a regal. So these are all different suggestions, but maybe what you could say here is, this is what Slikowski was suggesting, maybe that Gemara in Moikatan goes against the Rambam. And if one were to assume like that Gemara, that there's no avelus by a Kohen Gadol because of the Yantifrim, that might hinge on this very discussion. Meaning, is there avelus by a Kohen Gadol or is it not avelus by a Kohen Gadol? And that goes back to, is a Kohen Gadol like any other person, like Shar Kol Hedyo? Or is he a different person? The rules don't apply to him. They don't apply, the same rules don't apply to him in the Dine Torah. They don't apply to him done. They don't apply to him in terms of Eidus. We'll look tomorrow how that works exactly. And also by Velas, maybe there's this same distinction between the Kohen Gadol and everyone else might be totally on the level of Kedusha that Kohen Gadol has. Is he like everybody else except he has just a special job? Or maybe his whole Mahus is different. And that would explain all the different Chilukim. Everyone good so far? The Rambam would say that Avelus is different. I mean, even though the Rambam we're suggesting right now for the Radbaz earlier, that the Kohen Gadol has a different Kedusha, his whole Mahos is different than everybody else. So that's the case, so how come he keeps Avelus? So Lanias Daiti, I think Avelus is a completely different category. All the dinim of the Kohen Gadol usually goes back to the level of kavod, respect for him, respect. So, you know, judging him being a Dayan, that's not beneath his kavod. So he's allowed to judge. Danino, so judging him, that's already Indian of Kavod. That's what they start questioning, sending a shliach. His avelus for a relative is not a beneath his Kavod. He wants to be involved. It's an involvement of kibud av v'eim if it's apparent, love, respect, relationships he has with his siblings, or children. So all these things don't attack his Kavod. Yes, when a person's an avel and the hair grows long and they're tearing the clothing, that's against his Kavod. So then in that case, they have to. He doesn't have to do those halachas. He doesn't tear his clothing. He doesn't let his hair grow long. But other halachas, sitting a low chair, one could question. There's a question, the halacha, whether kfiyas mita applies to the Kohen Gadol or not. But it's not an attack at his kavod. It may not be disrespectful. So you have to figure out, is it true every single area of the Kohen Gadol is different? Or no, only when it goes against his halacha, his kavod, is it a stira? Then we have to question. But maybe avelus isn't against the kavod of the Kohen Gadol. Now, there is another element, just because you asked the question, the whole understanding of Avelus. What I just presented here, Avelus, of when a person sits Shiva, it's showing kavod to the mace. That's the whole element. It's showing kavod to the mace, to the relative, to the parent, to the sibling, to the spouse. And if it's not a bizayon to the Kohen Gadol, he should keep it. But there's another element, which Reish Lakish was pointing out, which I wasn't going to go into, but since you asked, if you look at the beginning of the Rambam, the way he counts the din of Avelus, this minyan, this mitzvah, he writes, L'sa'abel al hakrovim, one has an obligation to mourn relatives, v'afilu kohen mistame u'mis'abel al hakrovim. Even a kohen must become tame. Why? Kohen could still sit Avelus at Shiva without becoming tame. Someone else is cover the mace. So there's a certain element of tuma, the connection of tuma to Avelus here. So that idea of tuma and Avelus being intertwined might also play a role here too. I mean, it would come out differently. That the Kohen Gadol, his level of tuma, were much more machmir on his level of tuma than that of a Kohen. So what comes out here, maybe one would think that Kohen Gadol should not sit Avelus. Should not sit Shiva, because he can't become Tamei. Nonetheless, he's able to. So that's something else to keep in mind. I don't want to go into right now, but just keep that in mind of a parenthetical point about Avelus versus Tumah. Let's get back now to our sugya and finish off. So this question of the level Kedusha Kohen Gadol has, whether it's a part of who he is, it's a chelek of him, it's part and parcel, or it's a job he has, but it doesn't change his whole mahus. Really goes back to some of the questions you guys raised about how is a Kohen Gadol appointed? What gives him the position of the Kohen Gadol? So there's a Gemara in Yuma Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. If a Kohen Gadol becomes Pasul, he's a Mum, he becomes Tamei, and you have to appoint a replacement Kohen Gadol for him, so that you appoint the replacement. And then let's say the Rishon, the initial Kohen Gadol, he's Chozel Avodasa. The Psul goes away, he's no longer Tamei, he's no longer Baal Mum. So now he's reinstated as the primary Kohen Gadol. The first one gets his job back. What happens to the second one? He's called the Kohen Meshuach She'avar. He lost his position. So what role does he play? Is he a second Kohen Gadol? Is he a Kohen Hedyo? Is he somewhere in between? So the Gemara says that the Reb Meir holds that he has all the halachas of a Kohen Gadol. And Reb Yossi says, no, he's stuck. He can't be a Kohen Gadol because it's going to create Eva, fight, tension with the first Kohen Gadol. But he also can't be a Kohen Hedyo because Mama called his name Maridon. You can't demote him once he has his Kedusha. So the Tosa asks a question. He says, wait a second. How is it true? How can Mama call his name Maridon? So why is that necessary din here? A Kohen Gadol who works, wears less than eight begadim and mechusim begadim, the din is he's pasul. The vote is pasul. Why do you need that? Why is it necessary? Just say that he can't work because he's avodas pasul. He's mechusa begadim. He's be'etzim really a Kohen Gadol. This Kohen Gadol sheni. So Tosa says, v'yesh lomar the Kohen Gadol mismane bepeh u'mistalik bepeh. You could appoint and you could also demote a Kohen Gadol bepeh. You just appoint him. There's nothing formal about it. There's nothing intrinsic about it. There's no inherent kedusha to the Kohen Gadol. You appoint the guy, you hire a guy for the job, and you fire the guy. No different than Kohen Gadol, you hire him, you fire him. And he adds Mistavra, the Melech decides, and the Achva Kohanim decide. Whoever votes, whoever's part of this election, when the decision's made, there's no formal ceremony. Just, okay, you're the Kohen Gadol, and now you're no longer the Kohen Gadol. Very simple. So this Kohen Gadol Sheni, you could appoint him, and then you could fire him afterwards, all bepeh. Now, the problem with this suggestion is that there are a number of Gemaras that indicate that's not simply you could just pull the string from the Kohen Gadol, you're no longer the Kohen Gadol. It seems like there's an intrinsic Kedusha to the Kohen Gadol. Rav Yashiv on his Haros on Yuma, he quotes some of these sources. He quotes a Gemara in Horios that says a Kohen Gadol, shenitztareyad, becomes a mitzora. So he's Tamei now. He can't work in the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe that person, that Kohen Gadol, should be able to marry an Amana. Gemara says no. He still has to marry a Basula. It's Aser for Kohen Gadol to marry an Amana. And even when he's a Mitzara, that Isser still exists. And the Rav Chaim quotes a number of Gemaras as well. Rav Chaim says that then, based on the Gevurah Ari, that the Kohen Gadol has his Kedusha remaining forever. The Kedusha lasts forever. So how is it possible that Tosafot could suggest he's nismana bepeh u'mistalik bepeh? So Rabbi Yashiv has this suggestion which he doesn't really like, which is he's in the same company as the Netziv, that the truth is, when you point the Kohen Gadol, you need a Meshicha. Meshicha means with Shemen HaMishcha, you need to point him with oil, place oil on the Kohen Gadol's head, and his forehead. The Mishnah Yuma says you take the oil, you shape it as a letter Chaf, a Chaf Yevanis, you put it on the head, and that makes him the Kohen Gadol. And that's the formal way to appoint the Kohen Gadol. What the Tosafos is talking about, Mismana Bepeh, Musalik Bepeh, he's referring to this particular case. On Yom Kippur, if the Kohen Gadol becomes Tameh on Yom Kippur, so now you need to do the Avodah. You need to have a replacement. So then there's a special heter based on a Pasuk. You're allowed to point the backup Kohen Gadol simply Mismana Bepeh by pointing him verbally. And then you could also demote him verbally. But that's a special, unique din when it comes to Yom Kippurim. That's what both the Netziv and Rabbi Yashiv suggest. However, Reb Chaim says differently. Reb Chaim says there are two dinim when it comes to the Kohen Gadol. Reb Chaim goes to some of these questions, and he says that the two dinim are as follows. There's one din of the Mashiach, of the anointing of the Kohen Gadol, and through that, Shebahu Miskadish the Kohen Gadol. He becomes now sanctified. He has a Kedusha. Be'etzem, he's a Kedushas Kohen Gadol. And there's a second din, which is the minoy, the appointment of his job now. You can have a guy with Kedusha, and then you give him the job. You could also have a guy with a Kedusha and without the job. So he says, aside from this Kedusha, you appoint him for his position. And that Meshicha Shalo, his appointment, his inherent Kedusha, Eino Butla Li'olam, says Reb Chaim. It's never butle. That's what all the Gemara say, that the Kedusha is Li'olam, the Kedusha is Li'olam. It's no different than Kli Sharis. If you were to anoint a Kli Sharis, one of the Kalim in the Beit HaMikdash, it's Nimshach. The Kedusha, it remains that way forever. Once a person is sanctified, it remains forever. But the Minui, the appointment, the position, that Yachal is Batal, that can be nullified, that can be canceled, he can be fired. And that's what Tosafot refers to, Mistalik Bepeh, Mismana Bepeh, U'mistalik Bepeh. Yes, you have the backup Kohen Gadol. He was appointed to be the Kohen Gadol backup. Now you don't need him anymore because the initial Kohen Gadol is back reinstated. So you demote the Kohen Gadol Sheni. But you don't remove his Kedusha. You don't extract his Kedusha. He still has a Kedusha. He just doesn't serve anymore as the Kohen Gadol. That's what he means. She Kohen Gadol Meshuach She'avar. He was appointed, but now he's no longer needed. Ein lo diminui. He's no longer in that position. The Hanistalik Vavar who mikunaso about din Meshicha Shelo Yeshla. But the Meshicha, the anointment, his inherent Kedusha, Dana Batela Liom, that's not forever. And therefore, all the halachas of a Kohen Gadol apply to the backup of Kohen Gadol. He can't marry a Basula, he must marry a Basula, he cannot marry a Amana, he can't let his hair grow long, he can't tear his clothing, he can't be Metame to crow him. All those apply even to a Kohen Gadol Shavar, because the Kedusha, that's what dictates all the Isurim. But in terms of working the Beis HaMikdash, that's based on Minoy, that's based on appointment, that's what Tosafos is referring to. So what comes out from all this is that we see that the Reb Chaim is very strong in this understanding, that there certainly is inherent Kedusha to the Kohen Gadol, that shows he's very, very different. Now we can connect Tosafos to each other, by the way. We don't take this reasoning of the Reb Chaim. We take Tosafos on face value, that there's no inherent Kedusha. It's Mistana Bepeh, Mistalik Bepeh. You point him a peh, you can remove him the peh. It's not a real inherent kedusha. This might go well with Tosafos in Sanhedrin, Daf Yitzches, where he says, "De lo gar mishar inish." Of course, the Kohen Gadol could judge. You know, different than anybody else because it wasn't an inherent kedusha to the Kohen Gadol. Yeah.
Sounds from Reb Chaim that it did in the oil. We didn't have that by sheni. So Tosafos is talking about by sheni. We didn't have the oil, so therefore it was just by peh. But Reb Chaim is going on by his rishon. When it would be different.
Excellent suggestion, but the Gemara in Yuma tells us that the Meshicha, Shemen and Mishka, was only necessary when it was around Bais Rishon. Bais Sheni asks Gemara, how do you become a Kohen Gadol? Riboy Begadim. Merubim Begadim, it's another way, where by him wearing 8 Begadim of the Kohen Gadol, that's a second avenue of him becoming a Kohen Gadol. Now one could maybe suggest, maybe that won't create the same level of Kedusha, but the posture of the Gemara is that it would create the same level of Kedusha. There is a Nafkamina though. The Mishnah does say that the Par Kohen Mashiach, that the Kohen Gadol when he violates an Avera, there's a special chatas he brings. Only a Kohen Meshuach brings a chatas. The Kohen Meruba Begadim does not bring such a chatas. So that would be a nafkamina. So that might indicate there's different Kedusha, but pashas there is a full-blown Kedusha to him. But it's a good question nonetheless. All right, we're good? Okay, so let's stop here. Mitzvah Shem, we will continue tomorrow on the Edus of a Kohen Gadol.